He says that he will answer our prayers. He says, if you abide in me and I abide in you, I'll even give you what you wish. He says that. The Bible says when we dealt with it in Psalm 34, even when it doesn't look like he's answering our prayer, he's still, because David, and he didn't think he was doing anything, and he's crying out to God, begging God to respond. God built him a military of 400 mighty men to turn the world upside down. So in those 12 years, David became king, running around the countryside for 12 years. So when he's praying for all of the problems and the stress and all the issues that he was facing in his life, God seemed like he wasn't answering it, but God was answering it in that he was just doing it in his time while he was at work. So God has promised, even when there's a delay, even when it doesn't seem like he's answering prayer, he's still at work. So it's not that God is not answering prayers. What God, he even would say it in Luke chapter 11. What kind of father, when his child asks for a bread, would give him a scorpion? See, he even say that. I mean, what kind of father do you think I am? That I would know you have a need and not respond to you. So it's not that he doesn't answer prayer. The question is the process. See, that's why you have the prophets of Baal jumping around, screaming and going crazy, because they feel they got to work their God into giving them an answer. They got to do whatever it takes to make their God respond. And so they put all this energy and time and work into where they're jumping up and down, screaming to God, hollering to God. And because they're doing all this stuff, God answers. He says, you ain't got to do that. You think I'm deaf? I mean, think about it for a minute. We say that God knows everything. So how does he not know what we're going to pray about? We say that God is everywhere all at the same time. So how is it that God, who's everywhere at the same time, not hear us when he is fully inside of us, fully next to the person, fully inside the next person? How is he not even hearing? We can't say that God is everywhere, then God is nowhere. We have to figure out our minds. So there's no way he's not hearing. There's no way. Jesus Christ, when he died, went to the right hand of the Father. Why did he go there? To hear our prayers. To make intercession for us. So we don't have to work ourselves into a frenzy for God to hear us. He is saying when we pray, there is a what is a thing not to do, because it's the process of the prayer. And it's what we should do when we pray. And then it's the confidence we must have when we pray. The confidence. As I was sharing with 8 o'clock crowd, you know, my grandkids always remind me of that. You know, they say, yesterday they said to me, Papa, could we have this? Could we watch a movie at the end of the day after we take showers? Could we watch a movie? Yes. And they took off. They never said, did you hear? Are you listening? The minute I said yes, boom, they took off. And they spread the news. They had the evangelistic crusade in the bedroom. They were confident that this is going to happen. And they were going through the remote trying to figure out which one they want to see. And they literally tell you, we're going to buy one. Okay, I wasn't thinking that way. But okay, now I said a movie. I didn't say one that we don't buy. So what could I say? So now I realized right away. So I stationed my wife on. My wife went to the couch, so I know we're good. She ain't going to let them pick nothing expensive. Not my wife. She going to be in that budget. So once I saw her on there, I know it ain't going to be no expensive movie. But they were set to go. They were all on the couch, took their showers, all sitting on the couch, laying on the floor, and they were ready to watch it. Why? He said, we can. It reminds me, when we pray, the mindset we need to have, because the person we're talking to makes sure that Jesus is stationed at the right hand of God. Express purpose of hearing our prayers. Here's what we shouldn't do when we pray. Look at verse 6, verse 5. This is what he's going to tell us. Remember not to do. Don't do these things. Here's the first thing he's saying. And he commands us. And this is a command, not a suggestion. You are not to be like the hypocrites. He's commanding it. That's suggesting it. Not saying, here is some people how they act. This is what you shouldn't do. He says, no. I'm commanding you. Don't ever be like these people. And why is he saying that? Hypocrites are imposters. It's kind of like Rambo is Rambo in the movies. Okay? Rambo. He's action movies. So guess what I looked at? Rambo. That's just the way it is. So Rambo's in the movies. Now, when Rambo is finished with the movies, he's scared of roaches. I'm not saying he is. I don't know. I'm just saying if Rambo was scared of roaches, after the movie is over, he's an imposter. That's what he's saying. The person is one thing in front of people, the opposite when they're not there. I remember, it was tough, because the people in the strip center, when we were in a strip center years ago, many of y'all don't know about that, the church started, went to school, and we left the school, went to the strip center. And in the strip center, the guy that was over the strip center, I thought the guy hated me or something. So he would come in, and I say, man, the pipe is broke there. Okay, leave tomorrow. Leave tomorrow? What are you talking about? It's in the lease. If you're going to make me fix this pipe, you got to get out of here. I'm serious. Just ask Gail O'Neill. She heard the stories in my office because the door was open. So he would go crazy. So I decided one day, I said, you know, I'm going to go to his office. I went to his office. I said, dude, what is the issue, man? This stuff is in the contract. I don't call you that much. Every now and then, there's just a few things that need to be fixed. That happens in any rental situation. I'm not calling you a lot. We got people in the church that fix stuff. So you don't even have to fix it. So why are you on my case? Is this a racial thing or something? He goes, no, because I don't think you like that. So what's the deal? He goes, let me tell you. See, my parents were Pentecostal preachers. And at church, they're hugging us, they're talking. We knew how to put on this performance. But when we went home, man, they whip us, beat us down like a dog, talk to us crazy. So what he explained is hypocrites. Now, understand, folks, God says, I will hear you. We discussed this, right, when we talked about the widow. The widow had rights because what she was dealing with came from the word of God. She had rights. So she could go to this unjust judge and make demands. Why? Because she had the word of God working for her. And she was living in it. And because she was living in it and the word of God was speaking for her, she could boldly go to the judge. So the Bible is saying there's no point being a hypocrite, because if you're a hypocrite, then you're not living inside the word of God. And when you're not living inside the word of God, he says, what are you talking to me for? I want you to live inside of me, committed to me. If you abide in me, I'll answer what you ask for. So to be a hypocrite doesn't help, because God is looking at my heart, not my performance. So he said, don't be like the hypocrites. Then he explains what they do. What do hypocrites do? Hypocrites, this is how they do. Hypocrites, this is what he said. Now, you got to understand their culture and their context. See, he's talking to the disciples, and guess who they see praying all the time? Pharisees, Sadducees, high priests, prophets. That's who they see praying. And these people would pray at certain times in the day. They got to remember last week, Daniel prayed in the evening service of worship, of evening sacrifice. So they had a morning, noon, and afternoon. Daniel would pray morning, noon, and night. He'd cry out to God. He'd just pray. So there was a set time that they would pray. And when they pray, these particular hypocrites, they did not pray for God to answer them as much as they wanted the people to go, wow, that man can pray, man. He can pray. We need to go talk to him, because when he prays, man, he could really do it. And so the people would come to them, and this is what they would do. They would leave their office or whatever they were doing, and they would make sure that the time of prayer, just suppose the time of prayer is 12 o'clock, it's around there, 12 o'clock, they would leave from their job and make sure they're in the most populated place in the marketplace, so that when the gown goes off or when the time comes, they would make sure that they're right there and just happen to be there, weren't really planning on being there, but just since the time went off, it's time to pray. But they purposely did that. And then they would pray out loud, making everybody know that they're praying. And he's going, I don't hear that. Because the person is never praying from their heart. They're praying for the people's adulation towards them, not my listening to them. So he says, when we pray in public, don't pray so people go, oh, wow, man, you could pray. He's, this is what I'm talking about. That's the person I need to go talk to. He goes, no. As a matter of fact, it was funny. I was sitting in the pulpit, and I was trying to be all, because I'm not the best person to put on this professional thing when people are doing things. I tend to jump right in and start teasing. So this guy prayed. The pastor asked him to pray. And I mean, he prayed. And this is one of the sons in ministry. So he sat down, and the pastor goes, man, if you need to catch up on your prayer, please do it at your house. I just simply ask you to open up the service and ask God to bless our worship service. You start quoting scripture like God don't know him. I'm sitting there listening to this. And I'm trying to be, you know. But I want to crack up laughing. I'm sitting up there wanting to laugh my heart out. Because he's telling him, he's saying, man, I just asked you to open up the service and you went on for 5 minutes just praying. Catch up with your prayer at the house. Don't catch up on your prayer here. And that's what we're saying, folks. Sometimes people are asked to pray when they want to pray. Some people don't even want to pray because they don't think that they could pray like that person. So when you have prayer meetings, people don't want to say anything. Oh, I can't pray. What do you mean you can't pray? You could talk. But the people don't want to pray because they feel like, man, when? Well, sometimes Pastor Canning's pray, man, that's the prayer. I can't pray like that. When Pierre pray, I can't pray. When that deacon or elder pray, I can't. No, no, he's saying no. You got to make sure that they're being heard. It's not a performance. It's not how great the person could pray. Not how wonderful they could put their words together. Not how wonderful they could impress people when they pray. That's not what pleases me when you pray. So stop worrying about that. I've heard many people say that. Man, I can't pray. Why? You could talk. But Pastor Ken, I just can't pray. What? What are you talking about? You can't pray. Yes, you can. You're talking to a God who knows you, who loves you, who takes care of you, who initiated the whole process. How could you not talk to somebody who works within your life and in your heart? And if you don't even know what to say when you pray, in Romans chapter 8, verse 28, he'll pray for you. How could this person be somebody you don't want to talk to? So don't be like the hypocrites. Don't compare yourself like them. Because the disciples are sitting back going, how do we pray? Why are they asking the question? They're listening to these people. That's why they're asking the question. Don't listen to those things. Let's pray. You should hear some of my conversations. It'll blow your mind. You know, I was telling 8 o'clock, I mean, sometimes I'm sitting on the plane and I'm so far behind. I get so far behind sometimes. Because there's so many things I want to study on. Or so many things I got to write or whatever for somebody or some organization. And I'm on the plane and somebody looks at me and they go, oh, you're a preacher. Ah, oh, jeez. Help me, God. Because I know this conversation is going left. Preachers just don't really have much respect around the country like they used to. So you know right away, I'm bad. So I'm sitting here and he goes, well, where are you? And he just go on and I say, okay, God, at the end of the day, I'm going to share the gospel. So open up a way for me to share the gospel with this person. And so the person is going on. Let's try to share the gospel. I never forget it. We're heading to Africa and they're trying to share the gospel with this person. Oh, I don't believe in Christ. I'm a Muslim. I said, okay. I didn't say what was in my heart to say. I wanted to say, and God forgive you. But I didn't say that. He said, I'm a Muslim. I said, okay. I said, well, what do you believe in? And so I'm listening to him, trying to create conversation, all this other stuff. And we're talking back and forth, and no matter what we share biblically, telling him about different things, he just didn't want to hear it. So I said, God, I got some work to do. He's got a hard heart towards your message. He's heard it before. He's turned it off several times. Help me, God, to work. It was my prayer. And after a while, he goes, he was drinking like crazy. After a while, he's drinking so much, I couldn't understand nothing he was saying. Oh, I don't understand. I know what he was saying. I said, okay, God, he's speaking in tongues right now. So let him fall asleep. And sure enough, eventually, he went out. I hit it really hard. They brought a snack by. I didn't want a snack. I just hit it. I'm going to work. I pray about different things. I was late to a meeting. I said, God, in the name of Jesus, because he said right there in verse 9, he says, pray then in this way, our Father who art in heaven, so hallowed be thy name. So I'm going to salute God. I'm going to talk to God. I'll make sure he hears that I respect him. And I go to God, I need some green lights. And God, help me not to run through the yellow one, because I'm tempted right now. Understand, prayer is a conversation. And it doesn't need to be hypocritical. Here's the next thing we look at in this verse. He says it right there. He says, when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites and stand up and pray in the synagogues, on the street corners, so everybody would notice them. You know, watch this, folks. Watch this carefully. He says, truly, truly, when Jesus Christ tells you truly, truly, in normal language, it means I'm telling you the truth. I'm telling you the truth and I'm commanding for you to listen. That's what it means in our language. Truly, truly, in their language, it simply means there's no other information. There's no other situation you need to look at. This is it. That's what it means. He's saying truly, truly. In other words, because you're looking at these people, you think they're great. You're looking at these Pharisees. You think they're awesome. I mean, that's what you see before I came. You saw all of this before you came. So you, to you, that's praying. That's why you're asking me. But I'm telling you the truth. Don't do that for people. And I just let all the adulation, all the patting on the back be your reward. I ain't giving you nothing. Why is that important? They're my disciples. They're supposed to carry out a message for God. They're supposed to go out and share the word of God. So I need you to be heard. And you cannot be heard if you're just trying to impress people, because when they finish patting you on the back, you got it all. I'm not hearing you. I turn you off. Here's another thing you shouldn't do. Come down to verse 7. He says this. He says, when you pray, do not use meaningless repetition. Don't use it. What does he mean by that? There's some people who get their beads out. And they pray and they say the same thing over and over and over again when they're praying, running with their beads. He's saying, don't do that. It's a conversation. It's an interaction. What you see in, look at verse 10. He says, your kingdom come, thy will be done on heaven and earth. Give us this day our daily bread. You're hungry. Forgive us our debts, because you're a sinner and you need forgiveness. As also we've forgiven our debtors. We got to forgive other people. I don't forgive you. Do not lead me into temptation. Because there's a lot of handsome men and pretty women walking around here. But deliver us from evil. Because I want to go do what my flesh tells me to do. He's just really real. Never dress this up. So don't sit there going repetition. And some people got to speak in an unknown tongue to God. God said, I don't know it either. I don't know what you're saying. The word tongue means dialect. It literally is a Greek word for dialect. It's not a Greek word. The word unknown in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 is not in the Greek text. It doesn't exist in the Greek Bible. It was put in the English Bible, but it's not in the Greek Bible. So when people keep saying, well, it's an unknown tongue, the words are oxymoron. Tongue is a known language. Unknown as I don't know it. They're opposite to each other. So he's saying, that's why you, when you go to Acts chapter 2, they would list the people speaking, and they would say they're speaking in a tongue, then they list the nations they came from, because it's a known language. So when people are speaking some unknown thing to God, God says, I don't know what you're saying either. So you got all these meaningless words you're saying to me, and I'm supposed to get a petition from you, a specific request from you. That's what a prayer is. It's a particular request or a petition that is like going to a courthouse and saying, I need this, like the unjust judge and the widow. I need this specific thing in this specific situation. And God says, okay, now you're talking to me. But when you're going all this wabba labba 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 labba, he says, I don't know what you're saying either. Speak to me. I'm the one of the Tower of Babel. I gave at the Tower of Babel all the languages. So since I'm the one that gave all the languages to the Tower of Babel, different dialects developed from there. When you speak to me in different languages, I gave it so I know it. But when you're speaking to me in something I never gave, I don't know who you're talking to. Then he says you pray forever with these words. He's not talking about long prayers, because Jesus Christ prayed all night when he's going to be crucified. So he's not saying you can't pray long. He's just saying when you pray long, pray something. If you're going to hold me for a while, at least hold me to something you're talking about. Look at John chapter 13. In John chapter 13. Please, on chapter 14. This is very important. Very important. Understand. He's literally don't mind us praying long, but we're praying in Jesus' name. What does that literally mean? In Jesus' name literally means I'm praying under his authority. I'm praying under his direction. I'm praying based on the power you gave him. So it's kind of like my son who wanted to fly business class, and he just happened to go up to the airport, and they called my name. Because at that time, I was platinum. And he goes over there and says, are we looking for an upgrade? Paul Cannings. Well, guess what his name is? Paul Cannings. He said, yeah. He walked up there. And that brother walked up there and he says, you Paul Cannings? They never asked for his license, never asked for his passport. They just say, you Paul Cannings? Yes, yes, ma'am. And he took my name, which means I didn't have a pass the next time I flew. Then he calls me from business class and he goes, guess what? I said, Dad, man, I got bumped up to business class. I said, you ain't no platinum. He says, yeah, you are, though. I said, but that ain't right. You took my upgrade. I don't even have a certain amount of upgrades you get sometimes. And I'm seeing it out of my app. It's literally gone. It's one of those ones. Sometimes they upgrade you because they have space, and sometimes they upgrade you because you have a literally upgrade you earn. He took the one I earned. I'm lost it. But the reason why he did is because he has my name, Paul Alexander Cannings. That's my name. And he chose not to put Junior on his license. And guess what? He looked like me. He is me. God is saying when you pray, you no longer walk in your life. You're supposed to deny yourself, pick up the cross, and become like me. So when you pray, since you like me, use my name. And you get all the privileges and the authority that comes with it. That's why he's saying in John chapter 14, verse 13, he says, whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. That's why he's saying, truly, truly, listen to me. When you pray, remember that this is what counts. This is what counts. This is what counts. Because, folks, he don't hear the prayer of an unsaved person. I want to make sure you understand that. Look at chapter 9 of the book of John, verse 31. He don't hear the prayer of a sinner. Don't hear a prayer of a sinner. A person has not accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior. They are not going to be heard. God gives them mercy, not grace. Mercy is different. God takes pity on them and chooses not to do certain things that he really wants to do just because they're his child. Whether they're saved or unsaved, he made them. So he takes pity on them. But there's no grace. Okay? There's a difference. There's no time for it. And don't forget now, a person can... I got to do a sermon on this. I think I'm going to do this, and I got to do it myself. Because you have to know who is saved and who is not. The Bible said, many, many will say, Lord, Lord, but few will enter into the kingdom of God. You will know them by their fruit. You not will know them by their confession. Sometimes y'all come in my office. He said he saved. So what? He got a Gideon Bible. Where you think he got it from? I ain't saved. How you know he saved? His Bible don't even look like the pages got turned. I say find Genesis. He's still looking at the 5 minutes. What are you talking about? Why you say that? Why you thinking the counseling I asked you to look through the Bible? I'm checking him out for you. You remember, he's not. My job is to care for you, not him right now. So I'm checking him out for you. And I'm looking for the fruit. I don't see no fruit coming from that tree. So you're not going to marry me? No. The Bible tells me I can't. And he's the boss. I'm the pastor. I'm the shepherd. I'm not the shepherd. If he says I can't marry you, I can't marry you. So, you know, get mad at me. I don't know if I want to be here no more. No problem. You came through the door. I'm not gonna violate the scriptures to please you. You have to see fruit. And so I'm gonna preach this sermon on what is a fruit of a person that is saved. It actually listed in the Bible. Just like you, who is a preacher? It's list who a preacher is, what a preacher looks like. It's listed. So if you go to the wrong pastor, it's on you. It's listed. That's why he's saying to us, I don't listen to sinners' prayers. Look at verse 31. We know that God does not hear sinners. For if anyone is God-fearing and does his will, he hears him. But I don't hear the prayer of sinners. So if you're marrying somebody and they ain't saved, guess what?
Y'all blessing the food, it ain't blessed. Y'all praying, Lord, lay me down to sleep. God says, you alone, baby. God is not listening to it. God bless our money, you're going to be struggling. God keep me safe while I drive down the highway, you better watch out. He's not listening. He's not listening, folks. And that's why he says, pray what? In a way that counts. Look at verse 6 of Matthew chapter 6. He says, pray in a way that counts. What counts? Now, I want you to notice something that you could miss in this passage of Scripture. Look at verse 5. He says, first few words there. When you pray. You go to verse 6, he says, when you pray. You go to verse 7, he says, when you pray. In Deuteronomy, in Daniel last week, he says, while you pray. So what is he saying? Prayer is the custom of your life. It's not something you do when you're broke, something you do when you're hurting, something you do when you're lonely, something you're doing when you need protection. You know, he says prayer is something you just do. Because why is he saying that? They're praying in the morning, at noon, and at night, right? And he's saying, bump that. Pray all the time. You walking around and eating stuff, and you don't know what you're eating? Pray. You're going to jobs, you don't know if that company will stay open? Pray. You're going driving a car, or you may get a car now that drives good, but you don't know when it's messed up. You don't know. You could be driving down the highway, minding your own business, and boom. Happened to a friend of mine not too long ago. He's driving down the highway. The person decides to exit, and they never saw him. Woo, pow, knocked him off the highway. Nice car, gone. Says, you don't know what you're dealing with. The Bible says Satan is going to heaven, Revelation chapter 12, verse 10, day and night, trying to crush us. He's a roaring lion seeking whom he can devour, not bite. So you don't know what you're dealing with. He's trying to take you out every second of every day. What you praying for in the morning, noon, and night? I don't do that. I could tell you. One of the struggles of pastoring is that I got a boss that don't sleep. That's a struggle. 2 o'clock in the morning, sometimes y'all be coming to my mind. Oh, Lord, I got children. Nope. This person on my mind, that person on my mind, praying. Let's call somebody in my office saying, man, you came up in my prayer. And your name came hard. Hard. So sometimes you just pray. As a pastor, when you really love what God has called you to do, and I honestly love you. I honestly want the best for you. I honestly don't want to just preach to you. We have church, you go home. I am not that preacher. I want to see you do well and experience God for all that he is. That is the passion that leads this church. I ain't just trying to house you and do church. I'm well educated. I can find a job. I don't have to be a pastor to have a job. Thank God for good parents. I do this because I want to. I choose to. This is the hardest job. As a professor, you go and teach a class, write some books, and go home. Counsel a few students. That's what my wife would love for me to do one day. She says, why don't you go back to being a professor? Can't do it. I got a different call. So sometimes you come up on my head, 2 o'clock in the morning. And I'm trying. I'm going to tell you the truth. Sometimes I'm going like, God. We had the first conversation that God and I have is, God, you know, man, I didn't go to bed till like 12 o'clock. And it's like, I feel this thing inside of me, like, how dare you? You wouldn't even get up at 5 o'clock if I didn't wake you. Prayer is whenever he leads you to pray. Sometimes you feel a need to talk to God. Stop. Stop talking about, I'm in the middle of a movie. Now y'all could pause the thing. Pause it. My son drive me crazy with that. Daddy watching the movie. Well, I got 4 kids, so we pause. Man, when he's gone, I just speed it up. Like, let me see this thing. And I put it back. Understand, prayer is when you pray, all the time praying, whenever you choose to pray. Don't stop praying. Literally, you walk. I got to kneel down and pray. Where in the Bible it says that? Well, I got to clasp my hand. Where? I got to close my eyes. Why? Sometimes when you close your eye, you think of stuff crazy more than when you open them. Sometimes when I close my eyes, I go, wow. Sweet Jesus. Help me, Lord. So a lot of times I don't close my eyes. I leave my eyes open because sometimes when I close my eyes, I'm thinking, oh, I should have done this. Oh, I should have done that. Oh, all these thoughts are going on in my head when I close my eyes. So I just literally like, don't want to do that again. So I pray my eyes open. Sometimes I pray walking. Sometimes I think my neighbors think I'm crazy. I use the twigs in the yard as an excuse to pick stuff up. But I'm just outside. It's a beautiful day. And I'm just picking up stuff and talking to God. Just praying to God. Sometimes a song pop in my head. I sing. Sometimes I go back to praying. He says, while you pray, make prayer your life. Not a moment. Not a Sunday. Not a Tuesday night. Pray. When you pray, while you pray, make it something you would do when you're in love and ain't got no sense staying up with the phone, on the line, falling asleep because y'all in love. That kind of conversation. That one. Not the one after you're married 20 years. Well, you know what you're thinking. Not that one. The one where you feel like you're in love. That the one. Keep talking. Lord, have mercy. Well, I ain't prayed in a while. How could you not pray in a while? You know what you do when you say that to me? When couples are mad at each other, they go to real short conversations. Hi, you okay? Yeah. Good morning. Good afternoon. Good night. Folks that don't go to bed at 8 o'clock, go to bed early. And soon as they see the other person coming, they turn the light off and they go to sleep. All of a sudden, they get a library next to their bed. They are somehow become studious and they're reading the Bible. They ain't never read no Bible. They ain't even looking. They're looking at the words. Your food is in the microwave. Person wants to check to see if there's any white powder in there. That kind of conversation, the Bible is saying, happens when people are mad. Sometimes because God don't do what we want him to do, we quit praying. That's the same thing like a couple who are mad at each other. They don't want to talk to one another. They don't even want to be in each other's presence only because they're married and they are here and there's no reason for the divorce. They're just mad. The Bible says some of us are actually mad at God. That's why we don't talk to him. Because he didn't do what we want him to do. And God is going, that's why he says this. Here's the second thing he says about, this is what you do. This is what you do in order to be rewarded, for this stuff to count. He says, right there in verse 6, he says, go into an inner room. Very difficult for these people. They don't have tons of rooms in their houses. Find a room, close the door, and pray to your Father. Whoa. Go in a room, find a room. Find a room. I actually saw my dad model this for me as a child. 5 o'clock in the morning, my dad was in the restroom. He had 8 kids. And he would sit on what everybody used to say, it's the throne. Dad is on his throne. Y'all know what I'm talking about. And the aroma in that room would not want you to go there. Understand, my dad prayed. He prayed. He says, find a place where you're not disturbed. Watch the words carefully. It's a lot of personal pronouns. You, 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 you. He's not talking about cooperative prayer. Y'all really hurt me in cooperative prayer as a pastor. You really do. Anytime we say cooperate prayer, y'all ain't here. And the most powerful prayers are cooperate prayers. Let's just go through the Bible and see when people came together and pray. Stuff changed. Like snap. But we run from it. It's really a struggle for a pastor. Because they're only doing it for you and for your benefit. Because people with cancer here. People whose babies are struggling with different diseases. All this stuff. And you see it. And you want just people to come together. Man, let's just pray. You don't have to know the person. You just need to know the Lord. And y'all don't come. But he's talking about you, 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 you. He's talking about it personally. He says, when you come to pray, make sure you're not disturbed. Because we're having a conversation here. You don't like people butting into your conversations, right? Like you're having a conversation and somebody comes and says, what are y'all talking about? Well, you know, he says it's a personal conversation. Set it aside. That's why he's talking about you here. And don't be disturbed. I do this in my house. I even got a spot at this church I ain't going to tell you about that I go and I prayed. I never forget when I was saying to the bond company, hey, man, we don't need to pay y'all. We're in the midst of a loan. We're closing the loan. No, you're going to pay us or we're going to close the church down. I'm going, what?
We paid you for 5 years. I'm just saying, this month of exchange, save the church some money so we could do something with this rather than pay you and then turn around and pay you off. Oh, I mean, it got letters, threatening letters. I said, okay, God, no problem. I took that letter, did like Hezekiah, put it on the floor, laid it on the floor. I said, God, this is your church. They can't touch it. You please give me the time to do what I know. I'm telling this man, I'm sending him emails where the loan is approved. He knows it's approved. Why is he threatening me? He can get his money anyway. I prayed. Every day, come in my office, go in there, pray. And God shut that man down. He says, when you come to me and it's something that is personal to you, act like it is and find a place that is quiet, nobody could disturb you, and pray. Here's the next thing he says. It's a secret to God. What does he mean by a secret to God? It's a secret to God, meaning God ain't always let you know what he's going to do. We all, God, I'm expecting an answer. God is going, no, I'm going to give it to you when I'm ready. So don't expect God to respond to us right away. I understand that he does through his word, like we preached last week in Daniel chapter 9. He does respond in through his word. So that's why he says, make sure it's quiet, because when I'm speaking to you, I speak to you through the Holy Spirit. But when you're praying, don't demand for God to respond. He says, I respond in secret. I don't always tell you what I'm going to do. I just do it. So when I'm praying, I can count on God hearing. I can count on God responding. But I cannot demand that God answers now. Because he says, I respond in secret. I do what I'm going to do when I choose to do it, and you can't make me. And that's why he said this last thing here. Well, I don't know if it's the last thing. I don't even know why I said that. He says, and your Father who sees you in secret. Oh, man. I love the tenderness of that, because God cares. Man, if there's anything I used to, Paul was better at this than Pierre. You know, Paul wanted to ask you for something. He had this little googly eye. Daddy. They don't say dad no more. It's daddy. My grandkids got it too. They go, Papa. They got that voice. Papa. Would you buy this for us? They even got the price. It's $30. Papa, it's not that much money. Just write a check. Papa, you got a credit card? Could I use it? I mean, they're working you the whole time. They got it down. Some of them would even crawl up in your lap. Grab you around and kiss you. Papa, could I hug you? Oh, you really working this now. You've gone way too far now. You're just like all up inside of me now. He says, he is your daddy. He is your father when you come to him. So how could he not care? You didn't start this relationship. The word father in the Bible means he began it. He's the one that sustains it. And he the one to maintain it. Therefore, since he began it and searched us out, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, so that whosoever God seeks us, no man seeks him. He says, how is it that you're going to ever worry about me finding you? I was the one who sought you. I was the one who brought you. I was the one who saved you. I'm the one who's going to bring you up from the grave when you pass. I'm the one that got a place prepared for you. I am the one doing all this. So how is it that I am not going to listen to you when I'm the one that even brought you into the world? Every child is a gift from God. I brought you. I chose, no matter what your parents decided, I chose to bring you. So how is it that I won't care to hear you? God cares. And here's the thing I love. And I promise, I'm done after this. Here's the thing I love. I'm going to close my Bible to make sure I do. Here's the thing. He says, and I know, verse 8, I know before you ask what you want. See, folks, there's two things about our word know. Know don't mean I just know because I'm God. That's for the first one. He knows. He knows everything. But he says, I know because I went ahead of you, experienced everything you're going to go through. And now that I know what you're going to go through because of what I've been through before you went through it, when you pray to me, I'm not just responding to you because I intellectually know, I experientially know. I know what you are going to go through for the hurt, the feelings, the pain, the difficulties that situation going to bring you. I know what it costs. So when you're praying, I just don't intellectually hear everything you're talking about. I'm also going to tell you how you're going to feel the pain. That's why the Holy Spirit is ahead of you. We'll pray the very groans of your heart. Because I went ahead of you and experienced what you're going to go through to make sure that by the time you start praying, I know what you feel. That's why he says, when you pray, automatically expect me to respond. Automatically expect me to respond yes or no. God does say no sometimes. Jesus Christ, let this cup pass from me. No. He does say no sometimes. No, Jesus Christ, the cup in the Bible means anger of God. I will not take away my anger. Man made me mad. I'm not taking away my anger. Sin is an angry thing for me. I'm not taking it away. You got to take the brunt of sin. No. No is an answer, you know. So when you pray, and you're walking up on your job, and your job is hard, it's painful, it's difficult. When I pray, I know my God felt me, know my pain. I never forget being in a lab in Fort Worth, Texas, fresh out of college. And I'm working in that lab. And folks were coming to me. You know what you're doing? You're just fresh out of college. You may not know nothing. I said, well, I'm sorry. My mom had to preach to me about being professional. I took my family to the job. I'm saying, well, you better move because this stuff may blow up. That's not what you say, son. I said, well, they moved. Do you know what you're doing? You're just fresh out of college. And I would pray. Even at my age, that watching the parents, my mom would get up, go to bed at 6 o'clock in the morning, get up at 3 o'clock in the morning and pray till it's time to prepare a husband for work. I watched that example. I saw it. I pray, God, I need this job. I want to go out and work on my master's, and my parents ain't got no money. I need this job. So would you please just let these people not mess with me? I would stay after work and fool around with things, ask my supervisor. And eventually my supervisor came and sat down with me. She says, you know, you are such a committed to learn this job and to know this job. Just know that I'm going to help you be successful. I knew when she said that was the answer to my prayer. Does that mean that God, right then when I prayed it, boom, there he answered it? He was already answering it. He just had to work on the supervisor. He so answered it, he wasn't working with the people who work under her. He so answered it, he worked with the supervisor to cause the supervisor to find favor with her. She would see me after work, asking for permission to learn this, reading manuals, all this stuff. I'm going to get this, man. I know this stuff. And I could get it. And she saw that, and she would come, and she would say, don't worry. When I saw that, I said, okay, God, you was already working. You already know my stress. You already know my anxiety. You already know my fears. You set it up. You organized it. You did it. Thank you, Jesus. I went home in my little hoopty going, hey. I turned my music on. I was having a worship service in there. Marvin Gaye was not playing that day. I was all of a sudden gospel singer that day. I seen God move. I saw that I know that he when it's in the word, he got me. I was doing my job. Colossians chapter 3. I go to work. It's not about the employees. It's not about the boss. It's about him. I must do a quality job. I must do it for him. He is the one that rewards me for my work. So I've learned that verse. So now I'm like the widow. God, doing what you say. Can't cause these people to backstab me. Turn against me. And to make the supervisor go against me. God, I know I'm 22. I know I'm in a field that they're not accustomed to seeing an African-American. So God, help me. I've seen him when my wife falls down at the door. I don't know what's going on. Oh, my, we're going off to work. What's happening? rushed her to the doctor. Oh, she's just having a woman moment. No, that wasn't a woman moment. I rushed her to another doctor. Man walks out. Sir, we got to take your wife for major surgery. What? We were just talking, eating breakfast, walking out the door. What is major surgery? I remember standing as a young married man in the hall, just saying, oh, God. Oh, God, I ain't talked to you all day, all because I was having a good day. Sorry, God. I remember my son. Sorry, your son has walking pneumonia. He got 2 days to live. No, you don't. No, you don't. I'm telling you, when you pray, I didn't stand up in the hallway and made myself a spectacle because I can pray and I'm a Christian and I know Jesus. I just leaned up against the wall. Find me a spot. Nobody was around. I wait till everybody left my son's room. Kneel on the side of the bed. He's jumping everywhere like nothing ever happened. I kneel down there. My wife is, I could see her. She's a nervous wreck about to pass out. I just prayed, God, he my boy. You can't let him die. That was Pierre. God spared his life. See, folks, to use a sermon, to me, it's my life. My life when you're in Africa and you're alone because you want to get ahead of the group. It's my life when you walk into this church and the funds are low. It's my life when you go home and the stress of ministry could put so much stress on your marriage. It's my life when I watch my kids come in with their kids and I know what kids can do to a marriage. It's my life. When I walk up to you and I don't want to make a mistake because you may go do what I say and I don't intend to hurt you. It's my life. That's why he says, while you pray and when you pray, because your life should be that dependent on me, like a person jumping out of a plane needing a parachute. Your life should be that involved, that dependent each and every moment of the day. That's when God is meaningful, purposeful. That's when you experience his results, not yours. Let us stand.